Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 23, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, I was on fucking holiday over in Koh Samui, so that was a highlight there. But I leave the country, and I come back, and fucking shit's hit the fan. AFL can't sell tickets in the finals. We've got eight different people going for Prime Minister. Every motherfucker's complaining about shit. Just, apparently, I was the one holding shit together.
It would appear so, and I think that was one of our issues to begin with.
But, quite possibly.
Yeah, it was a big week. I know, I was glad, because at work we had some stuff going on, and it all got swept aside in the media, so it was great.
That's always handy, you always need someone to dive on a grenade.
Exactly, there was other shit the journos wanted to cover.
Well, they said the same thing with the government, actually, because they announced at the same time as the whole lip spill was going on, that they weren't going to let Chinese brand Huawei pitch for the 5G telco network, which is probably what you're talking about.
That as well as other stuff. Yeah. They try to sweep that under the carpet. But
honestly, I think it's a good idea to let China run our infrastructure. But
I mean, they're going to pay for it one way or another.
Exactly, eventually. Brenton, you got a highlight?
Not so much the week past, but I just saw some news yesterday, I think it was, or today, about Murray Corn Arena going to launch Australia's first big esports competition.
League or something?
Yeah, competition. Okay. It's going to be a live competition, so you buy a ticket. It's going to be... No, it's not Counter-Strike. Maybe it's Counter-Strike.
Yeah, but Counter-Strike's pretty popular in esports. What a fucking week to announce it, though.
I know, that's what I was thinking. That's not the best time.
Yeah, after the shooting in Florida. But, I mean, if you're not going to announce stuff where America has a mass shooting, you're never going to announce stuff.
Exactly.
That's true. And, it'll be kind of funny that in America they can't play a football game without getting into a gunfight, and we can have an actual gunfight and not really have any casualties.
Yeah. Well, I got a highlight of the week. It involves the footy. We were going to the Blockbuster North versus Saints on Sunday.
Massive one.
And as you know, it's obviously round 23, and the AFL members that we are, we get the tickets, you know, in the mail.
All right.
The information about how to buy your tickets. So anyway, Mum is a North Melbourne supporter, as Josh is. And Josh just picked it up, had a look at it. Mum slapped it out of his hands and said, "You don't look at that. That's not for us." I thought, geez, Mum, that's a bit harsh. But anyway, she enjoyed it. All right, so let's get into the footy then. And we started off with Friday night, Essendon v Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide still has something to play for, but you wouldn't know that by watching.
No. And, this is... I was sort of tuning in and out of this game as I was...
so was Port.
Drinking beer. But it just seemed like they had already clocked off for the season.
They had.
Not even that. It just seemed like they'd clock off for 15 minutes and go, "Oh, shit, wait, I got a contract coming up." And play for, like, 30 seconds, then go, "Fuck it." Are they stoned?
It started early, too. Essendon were good. They weren't great, but they were good.
Yep. I mean, even Westhoff kicking five, you would expect that to actually, you know, maybe get some excitement around the team and start putting some work in. But they just let any sort of momentum they had, they just drifted off. And Essendon, like I said, they weren't dominating at all. Just managed to keep them at bay.
True to form as well. As soon as some numbers that North put in front of players, they have blinders, or at least their best game so far. And Polak has a game that you'd remember, which is more than he's done for the season.
Oh, he's walking on sunshine.
Polak.
He's walking on sunshine, the offers he's getting.
Oh, North Pole.
Yes, okay. Aaron Francis takes a contender for Mark of the Year.
He's pretty decent.
It's not Mark of the Year for mine, but God, Essendon seems to win these things somehow. So you never know; he might get it. But
our fans are picking up those auxiliary awards.
They do.
They try to give them back when it comes to Brownlow. But,
well, they tried not to.
Well, I believe they did not give it back. But his last month or so, when he's decided he doesn't want to go home to South Australia, geez, he's put in some performances. He's going to be a monster next year.
And there's lots of, obviously we're getting into the silly season for those that didn't make finals. Lots of interesting stuff coming out of Adelaide. They got Robinson trade bait, but I heard the latest day that considering putting Chad Wingard up for trade just to try and get some value out of him.
I think that was heard of that. David King and Robert Walls pitched that up.
So, but they're credible.
let's put that down to they want two number one draft picks. Not first round. They want number one twice.
Or maybe one of the Adelaide PR people would put that rumor out there just to put a bit of shade over there.
I could see Mark Ricciuto doing it.
Or maybe Kingy and Wolsey just like, fuck it, let's throw this, see what happens.
Yeah, the problem is it's impossible for Ricciuto to be deep throat.
And Wolsey did pick West Coast to finish dead last this year, so...
He's had a rough one.
He hasn't done well.
I mean, I feel like football isn't his thing anymore. Like, I mean,
pretty much.
After he finished playing, that's just where he should have went. Now I'm getting a degree or something.
I mean, he's a premiership coach, but he did go off to France for two or 3 years. Shit premiership coach.
Yep. I'm planning now. Robert Walls, shittest premiership coach ever.
Who would be the shittest premiership coach?
Robert Walls,
if you're honest.
I can't tell you. I don't know.
It does kind of give your resume a big boost, being a premiership coach.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
So the worst premiership coach is probably still better than Ross Lyon, but still pretty decent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Except for Walls, apparently.
I don't know. Luke Beveridge? His team won the flag and has gone shit out since, but give him time, though. Poor bastard.
That's true.
Anyway.
If Mick Maldos gets in the media more, he could get that reputation.
Well, hang on. He got how many flags did he get? Three.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
We'll leave the multiples out, I think.
We'll wait till the off season to rip in the Mick.
But anyway, that wraps it up for both those teams. And a bit of a dead rubber. I mean, they did come back at the end, Port Adelaide, but it was too little, too late, really.
Yeah. Did you hear anything about Mad Monday? I didn't see shit.
No, a lot of them delay it now,
right?
Because they have exit interviews and actual stuff that they need to be sober for.
Yeah.
Blokes getting the ass. And then they have their Mad Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I think most of it's on Wednesdays nowadays.
I mean, you don't really want to turn up to that meeting.
Rat-assed.
Wearing a fucking Ronald McDonald outfit with half a fucking toothbrush at your asshole.
Leave Ben Brown alone. Jesus.
Did you see one of the NFL players was talking about that, talking about Mad Mondays?
No.
Because he was playing with Ben Graham.
I think they just call them Mondays.
He was playing with Ben Graham, and he was talking about how Graham was telling him these stories about shit. And literally, he was telling about this time he walked down Geelong naked with a toothbrush stuck in his ass. I don't remember that actually happening.
Jesus.
But I imagine in Geelong, it could probably happen. The journos would be like, that guy.
The journos would take photos, and then all of a sudden, they get knifed.
Yeah. I feel like that story just gained a bit on the exchange rate.
Yeah, it might have been a bit more interesting.
Well, you're not going to make it a shit story, are you? If you go in there and you're Cameron Ling telling all these NFL players, one time I dressed as a clown.
Yeah, they're like, I shot a stripper in an elevator.
Yeah. That was a Mad Monday. Yeah. That was last week.
But apparently he wants to bring it into the NFL. I don't know what the Mad Monday in the NFL would look like, and I imagine probably the Purge.
Well, I'm going to say, there'd be a body count with it for sure. Saturday games, Geelong beat Gold Coast by 100. Do we care?
Yeah, did they even come out for I didn't watch this game, of course, but looking at the worm, it looks like Geelong literally just walked off the field in halfway through the last quarter.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what more do you need to say? It was a shit year for the Suns. Yeah. I can't believe they scored 5 goals.
The weird part for me, Barlow gets 35 touches, gets delisted. It's like, fuck, mate.
Well, I mean, somebody had to get the ball, didn't they? And clearly, he's 32 or 30, I think, Barlow.
Somewhere around there. Around that age. Never been the same, though, since he...
Problem is, he's best 22 still.
Clearly he is, but it's not like they're going to play finals.
Yeah, I think he's probably just in the 22.
Well, he should probably be included just because he's a bloke who knows what the ball looks like.
And wants to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, they are struggling with that issue, a little bit. But Anyway, there's nothing to get out of this game. The Cats didn't get anybody injured. They got through.
How many behind was Hawkins in the Coleman for this one?
He needed, I think, well, he was playing at the same time as Jack, so he didn't know how many Rewite would kick, but he needed like three to draw level, I think. Right. So, and then whatever Jack kicked.
So he had a fair chance of actually getting there with a scoreline of...
Well, he needed 10.
Fucking plenty to 40 points.
Yeah, you'd reckon.
I feel like, you really let your teammates down there, guys. Maybe there's a bit of... rivalry, a bit of a...
Competing for spots, you reckon?
Yeah, a bit of a team...
Coleman's fucking meaningless team anyway.
Coleman's meaningless. All you've talked about for 23 weeks.
We're getting to North Melbourne. In fact, we could just do this whole episode on North Melbourne.
We'll get there. They're the last game. We'll get there. Tigers and the Bulldogs. I went to this game, and you thought it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I got to say, sometimes I like to listen to the radio while I'm watching the footy.
Yeah.
I was listening to Triple M. The worst fucking call I've ever heard. And I don't usually go off on commentators because, you watch the game for yourself anyway.
I love it.
But this was a hard, fast game played with really good skills, and they were talking from the get-go about how boring the game was going to be. And they carried it on. They spent 15 minutes trying to argue that a computer can update itself, when you put in the stats. This is during the fucking game. Billy Brownless and Brian Taylor arguing about how a computer can update itself. And I thought, guys, this is a good game. I'm enjoying this. And you guys are actively trying to make it sound less boring. Anyway, onto the game itself. The Bulldogs had plenty of run. They had their chances. I mean, there was half the Richmond side that didn't want to go too hard, but the others are playing for their spot in the finals. And Bulldogs, by all rights, had every chance to win it. And just... hit the post three times in the final quarter.
Yeah, I feel like they gave it their all, and I didn't expect them, to be honest. They're definitely known for packing it up when they can't be bothered.
Yeah.
But they didn't this game, and so it gave us quite a little bit of shock. But to be honest, going into a break for a one-week break and then finals, I'd rather have a bit of a tougher hit out than Geelong playing Gold Coast and winning by 100 points.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
And they're a team that matches up well against Tigers anyway. They're that small, fast-running team. And so there are a couple of teams in the finals that are going to present that same challenge. And so I'd like to have something that's going to be meaningful in that last round.
Yeah.
Also, some bad news with Towner going down in the VFL. Yeah.
Cracked his ankle.
Yep. He's done for the rest of the season, which is definitely, definitely hurts, but it's not going to be diabolical.
Well, when he is your injury list, you're doing all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Young McRae, too bad he got injured because he would be a very heavy Brownlow chance.
He'd be locked for all Australian. I'm not sure if he made the squad.
I'm pretty sure he's the only one that made the squad, didn't he?
Yeah, he may have. But
made the 40.
He was killing it earlier in the year, and he had the ball on a string in this one too.
Mm. And also, Dowhouse has signed. Is he leaving or he signed with...
Rumours that he's going to Geelong, but obviously he can't leave just yet.
Yeah, but he's going to be unrestricted, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah, the rumours were he's looking at Geelong for about 500K, which I think is probably about fair, which means he's not leaving for money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's being poached across. But watching this game, you can see why he's not getting a big offer from the Bulldogs, because Caleb Daniel is an absolute general.
That's his spot, isn't it?
They're playing midfield and behind the ball. They just give him the ball and go, mate, you find out how we get out of here. And he makes good decisions. He can't kick, 45 metres, but he hits targets when he wants to.
Yep. Problem is, anyone over 6'5" can't tackle the fucker.
Yeah, he mugs he bogues him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got. I don't think he's got much of a top speed, but once he gets there very quickly, though.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, he's not going to be doing big runs down the wing, but he's definitely going to get there forward momentum. And you feel like he should be the one person that has figured out sort of what the team's weaknesses are and how I can fill in those roles, and especially coming off the half-back line where you've had Wood, who's been injured for a fair while, Johannesson, who hasn't been at his best.
Yep.
Had a couple of good games in the last few rounds, but not to his their premiership form, where it was those two teaming off the half-back, and that's what set up their run. And he's just sort of dropped back and figured out how he can lift that role a little bit, maybe just redefine how they get out of their half-back line.
And you got to say, Jackie Boy kicking a lazy five to win himself his third Coleman. It was a good game from him.
He had an excellent last block month of the season. And so he's definitely got some, maybe if Lynch comes along, he's just trying to make sure he's the big dog on the block.
I thought it was a pretty selfish game, to be honest.
it is funny, you know, because Tigers seem to be favourite for Lynch. And you look at it and you go, if the Tigers miss out, eh.
It doesn't matter, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, nothing's ever static in football. Teams are always changing, the game's always changing, the way he plays always changing. But I feel like we've definitely, he's not a person that's going to come in and have an instant, like, you know, oh my God, shit, how do we ever play without him?
Yeah. Mm.
So it's, yeah, you can either take it or leave it, and it's whether he wants to come there, pretty much.
What I don't get is how Collingwood are in the picture for him.
They're in the picture for everyone.
What do you mean? Yeah. What don't you get?
Well, the salary cap issue. Like, they've got...
It doesn't apply to Collingwood.
What's salary cap? What's that? It does not matter.
If they get Lynch, Eddie Maguire can never complain about Kohler.
Ooh, he will complain about all sorts of things.
I think he's still complaining about it. He's complained about Kohler. He's complained about Sprite.
Yeah, no, I think it was Coke that he was complaining about, pretty sure.
That's what he should be complaining about now. poor
if
old
their
guy,
players though. Can afford that much Coke, but he's testing positive on game day,
well, it's
you're getting paid too much. Yeah.
Coke doesn't come into the salary cap.
It's fringe benefits you get for playing for Collingwood.
Yeah, it's like you get $180,000 a year, a gram a week, and make sure you're training.
I thought, who was it? The Lynch was kicked hit the behind post, having that shot round the corner in the last 30 seconds. He celebrated a little bit early on it too.
Yeah.
But geez, it wasn't a bad shot.
Well, you still got to think of the highlight footage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It always looks better. Like, you won't see that highlight of him missing, but if it goes through and he's celebrating early, they're like...
You retire on that one.
Exactly. He knew it was going through, straight off the boot.
Yeah.
They forget all the times you miss very easily.
Young Billy Gowers, he's come on.
And he had a good year.
Yeah, for... it's funny, Eddie had, it seems like the screens have a red bias.
Okay.
Because when he's on...
You're talking about the replay screen, the big screens. Yeah,
big screens. Because whenever he's... You see him running around, and he's a redhead. But on the screen, he is fucking bright red. Like fluorescent red.
Do you mean Richards?
No.
You sure?
I think so. That's Gowers. He's redhead.
Yeah, okay. He's a GWS reject as well, and son of a Hawthorn premiership player. In Andy Gowers.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, good. He's had a career best year and Bulldogs have already done their delistings today, so
yep.
He's obviously going to run around again.
And the funny thing is for the Bulldogs is that their pickups this year have actually been pretty good. Like, I wrote Lockie Hunter off. I thought he was probably done.
Oh, he's not a pickup.
Didn't he come from West Coast?
No.
Wasn't it?
No.
What was I thinking of? Oh, someone else. Anyway, and Crozier definitely came from Freer, right?
He had a good couple of games, actually.
Yeah, I thought he's hit a bit of form in the last block again.
I'll have to go through and see how many Bulldogs games I saw this year, because I reckon I probably got four or five.
Yeah.
He had some really good games, Crozier. It was a shame for the Bulldogs, because they had a good end of the year. Mm. The last month they had some big wins, but... obviously too shit early on. And I'm not saying the Tigers supporters are getting ahead of themselves, but like I said, I was at this game and I went to the toilet halfway through and there was a Tiger supporter having a shot from three-point range. He was a good 2 feet back from the urinal. But he was confident in himself, so no worries.
As long as he didn't hit the post.
This is early days too. This wasn't, you know, end of the game or anything. He was in fine form.
Go on the top.
Move on to Collingwood and Freo, and give Freo their due. Got done by...
They have a due?
84 goals last week.
Yeah, Goldstein out confirmed.
They took it up to Collingwood.
Surely no one was cheering for Collingwood in the last quarter of this one, because just like Freo might come in and just fuck over someone's finals. one last fuck you to the rest of the whole...
There was no fuck yous this year, was there? There's usually one.
Yeah, usually someone gets shafted out of there, but it was all just... People were fucking themselves out of these finals. It was amazing to see.
It did seem a little bit like, lads, fucking we're not trying to win this, cunt.
Yeah.
Chill the fuck out, will you?
I mean, they had a good lead in the final quarter. And Ballantyne, you must say, is, after signing his new contract, made it look like he wanted to be there too.
Yeah.
He played a blinder.
Yep. And I mean, don't know the people that really want to be there is Fife and Sandilands, aren't they? The ones that re-signed. Everyone else, I don't know. Cam McCarthy, what's happening this year? He's come back from injury. For a year just to get across there.
Broken moustache.
And done fuck all.
Yeah. I think they found out that he's a good third option up forward.
Yep.
But as a first option, still got some work.
Well, look at the big name full forward signings we've had recently. There's Boyd, obviously Cam McCarthy and Lynch coming up. The results aren't great, although, in fair, Boyd had a good 10 minutes of 2016.
Yeah, but as a ruckman.
Yeah.
More as a ruckman.
It's unfair that Jarrod Waite's sitting on the sidelines. No contract in front of him.
And so the other big forward before that was, Tippett and Buddy. And, one out of two ain't bad.
Yep.
What's Buddy done?
Absolutely nothing this week, I'll tell you that. It was a good show from Collingwood, and they are probably the team that'll enjoy the week off the most, because it looks like they'll get Howe back and likely Treloar if he goes for a run around in the VFL. They're a dangerous side, Collingwood.
I'd really love to slag them off, but to be able to do what they've done with the injury list they've had, fuck.
And yeah, they had an easier draw than some other teams, but fuck it, they finished third.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finished the hard way via the injury list, like I said.
Yeah, playing great footy. You talk about coach of the year. I mean, Buckley's got to be in the conversation.
Yeah. I thought he would have been in the conversation for getting sacked at round one. But look, if you're a Collingwood supporter and you're behind Bucks the whole way, you've been...
Sure.
Hey, friend of the show, Joffa.
Yeah, mate.
I mean, we did talk to him 3 years ago, but I think we still call him a friend of a show.
Keeps ringing up, trying to get back on.
Just settle down, Joffa. Play a bit hard to get, mate.
He's always backed Bucks. He's never been in doubt.
Yep.
And he put it up a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned it on here as well, that he should be up for Coach of the Year. And
it's a fair question.
Tell you what, he's...
Can't argue it, I don't think.
Can't argue
it. I think he's there. And it's just about... how much they've relied on going very deep into their reserve lists. And I think the only team that's gone deeper is the Liberal Party, except their bench sucks.
Yeah.
Well, the only two teams that have done better are West Coast and Richmond, obviously.
Yeah. And you could name them too. I mean, they could be Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Hardwick, he's got claims.
Yeah, but I think
Simpson.
I think both of them have had, you could make an argument that West Coast have had a hard run with injury just because they've had injuries to their prime players.
Yeah.
Which Collingwood have to.
And Gaff, but that's self-inflicted. But Kennedy and Darling being the main ones.
Kennedy, Darling and Nick Nat.
Oh, of course, Nick Nat. I absolutely forgot that Nick Nat did his knee halfway through the season.
Yeah, so you got three of your, not just best 22, probably best five.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And, you throw, Gaff sitting out for half a year a quarter of a year. There's four of their best five that have missed significant parts. And I'll say that Elliot Yeo is the other one that's played every game for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way it goes.
I thought young Jack Madgen's been a funny little story for them, coming into the team and starting to get a game. Hasn't played AFL for that long. It's almost the Mason Cox story, except he's Australian.
Yep.
He was playing basketball in college in America. His older brother used to be captain of the Sydney Kings.
Okay.
He's now playing in Ben Madgen. Now he's playing in... Lithuania or Europe or somewhere like that.
Where they all do, yeah.
But yeah, they finished his college out in America, and then, someone was recruiting over there for Collingwood. So they were like, oh, fuck it, this guy's Australian. Back home, yeah. Never kicked a footy. Well, obviously, school and shit, but never played a game in anger.
Got to meet my quota.
They're going that deep in the bench, he's got a gig.
Yep.
now he's...
he stood Buddy a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. And now he's looking like he's going to get a gig in the finals too.
He did well on Buddy too.
Well, he got beaten, but...
They shared the flogging around, though.
He didn't kick 14 on him.
No. And he very well could have. He's probably going to get knocked out, though, if Jeremy Howe comes back.
Possibly, yeah.
Interesting team to watch during the finals.
I think the best thing to watch is Mason Cox's Twitter for the next fortnight.
He's
great. Yeah,
he's on the ball.
Just follow him and Bogut, that's all you need.
He has been from the get-go, too, Cox. He's best on ground when it comes to the Twitter game.
That was funny that the wrong Peter Dutton for America.
Hey, and immediately went into sell mode.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yep. What was he selling? It was some...
Popcorn.
Yeah. Weird-ass soul popcorn or something.
Yeah.
There's another plug for you, champ.
I'll buy some.
Good on you. I want to try it.
Just perfect timing for watching the shit show that was the Liberal spiel as well. Yeah. Everyone needs popcorn for that rubbish.
Fucking hell.
Took it like a champ. Always running with the wrong John Jones, who always gets the hate tweets when real John Jones fucks up something.
Do you remember years ago, there was when Twitter was new, there was a person called, their Twitter handle was Ashes. Or The Ashes.
Ah, yes.
It was an American lady from Missouri whose name was Ashley.
Never knew what cricket was.
And had no idea, but everyone, The Ashes would come around and everyone was like, guys, I don't know this game.
Yep.
Qantas Fluoratti.
That's right, I did too.
Yeah, it was a big thing. So, she had her 15 minutes of fame and enjoyed business class, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Fuckballs 29 to be famous.
Were they up to Fuckballs 26? You're nearly there.
But the funniest thing about the Libsville was it did remind me, being a North Melbourne supporter, of always going, all right, we've got this guy, he's going to get the lead, he's in. Fuck, he's signed somewhere else. And that was kind of the way they were going. It's like, oh, Dutts, mate, you're in, champ. Nope, he's fucked. Jewel Bishop, yep, you're in. Nah, you're fucked too. Who the fuck's this bloke?
You could just see all the social media accounts going, right, guys, this is our grand final. Come on. There was some quality coming out. The best one I think you showed me, actually, was Liberals sending their night watchman.
The Batuta advocate, was it? Has had a fucking brilliant month.
Brilliant, yeah. You see that, you go, mate, you've nailed it.
Well, I have no idea who writes for them, but whoever it is, mate, you are better than every comedian on television at the moment.
Oh, they'd have
every single fucking one.
They'd have a staff of open micers and shit.
Yeah.
All right, on to Carlton, Adelaide. Adelaide won.
They played very, very well.
Whatever.
So we had the bullshit. There was Sam fucking McClure's article about trying
I think bullshit and Sam McClure are kind of redundant.
I've got to say,
it's true.
Let's go straight into the Crows, because off the field has been more interesting for them this year. Yeah. Collective Minds decided to wait till the season ended for a press conference. And one of the shittest press conferences I've ever seen. However, for the first time this year, Adelaide have done something right. And they've said nothing.
Yeah.
They're going, mate, fuck off. We don't need to say anything. We don't. Every time we speak, we fuck it up. They're just going, you know what? It's happened. Good. It's over. Season's finished. Fuck off.
I think their written statement was decent in what they put out.
Yeah.
The press conference sucked. But it's one of those ones where they've gone out and said, hey, it all signed off on whatever. You can't blame their shit season on a couple of meditation retreats.
No.
Like, that's a fucking long bow.
Yeah. It's they had injuries as well, and it's been a shit.
And they played shit.
And they played shit.
It was just the fallout from getting demolished by the Tigers last year.
Yep. Some of that
one
as well.
One of the most satisfying wins in the history of AFL. I'm calling it right now. Big call tonight.
I remember one of the big things the criticisms they had was that apparently on the bus they played the Richmond song on repeat or some shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that really going to fuck up your season? Like, they could play Gangnam Style on repeat and your season would be shit house.
And how many of the players had headphones in anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm glad that's done with. And it's fair to say their brand has taken a hit for it.
Yeah, and
But the Crows come out today swinging the axe. They've axed two Hawthorn father-son prospects in Harry Deer and Ben Jarman, who neither played a game. And I think they both went okay in the sample, but just okay.
Well, I said earlier, I really like the way Ben Jarman goes about it. His reactions are brilliant. His left-right hand, left-right foot is fantastic, but he is slower than you want, and he is smaller than you want and doesn't have the leap you want. And it's one of those ones where you look back 15 years, and we had teams with sort of 15 footballers and 7 athletes.
Yeah.
Now, it's more than likely going to be 12 athletes and 10 footballers at best.
Yeah.
Because the amount of players that can't even use both sides of their body is, you know, stupid.
It's far too high.
Yeah, but he's one of those guys that, back in his old man's day, he would have had a fucking long career. It would have been great. But now the game's just too fast for him. And if he can pick up some pace, I reckon he'd be a good little addition in the rookie draft.
Oh, and it doesn't mean that it's over for him either. He could go, you know, continue playing in the SANFL or the VFL or something and get picked up in 2 years' time.
Yep.
You know, there's certainly a lot of scouts that are looking more at the state leagues.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the best state league pickup this year by far was Tim Kelly with Geelong.
Yep. Yeah.
Who, if he played the whole season, it wouldn't make All Australian, but geez, he'd be.
Yeah.
They would have to.
Conversation.
Yeah. They would have to spoken about him to eliminate him.
Yep. And last year was Jack Graham, who, you know, had an all right 4 games.
Yeah. Exactly. Just played the 4. You know, that's not bad.
Yeah. One that the Crows passed on, of course.
And then Mitch McGovern has come out today and said, I want out.
Yep.
I've had enough. Which there's been rumours about all year, and everyone's rubbished them. Mm-hmm. Now they've gone.
Weren't even some rumours that Jeremy McGovern was going to come across to Adelaide and join him?
Yeah. And then he signed 5 years at West Coast.
And then he thinks Adelaide was shit. Went, let's pump the brakes on that one. Yeah,
Mitch has given him a call. Yeah. What I loved about this, the Crows confirmed it through their official, you know, website and Twitter.
Yep.
And when they Twitter, they put out, you know, Mitch McGovern asking for a trade out. And then hashtag we fly as one. Like, how about hashtag we fly the fuck away?
Yeah. But hashtag we said no.
I thought, you know, you've got your branding, but maybe leave it off this one.
We fly with stopovers.
We fuck right off out of here. Anyway.
Do you think that's just the thin end of the wedge, though? Because if he's saying this isn't the team I want to be a part of, there's going to be other players to Lever last year.
Well, Lever left for money.
Yeah, which is, it's a fine. Professional sport. That's fair enough.
He's not leaving for money, though, Mitch McGovern, because maybe he is, but he had a contract he signed. The whispers were that the Crows told him, we haven't got any more money. That's the absolute most we can give you. And he went, fair enough. And then they went and bought Bryce Gibbs. And he went, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the way it goes. We'll see what the Crows will demand, 2 number one picks and, I don't know, probably a Premiership Cup.
Do you think it's worth playing hardball with him, though?
You don't have a choice. You're going to try and negotiate with them because that's what they play.
Well, yeah, the Crows haven't really negotiated in good faith in recent times, you'd say.
No, it was the debacle with the Gibbs one
A
couple of times. They'll play hardball because they've got him for 2 years. They've got a 2-year contract. So,
but it's one of those ones where do you really, really want to hold on to a guy that doesn't want to be there? Like, yeah, if the season starts and he's contracted, he'll probably play as good as he wants to, I suppose.
Well, as good as he can, because even if he's going to see out his contract, he wants his next one to be big, doesn't he? You'd rather a big next contract than a small one. But you're right. I mean, do you force a player that doesn't want to be there to play for you, but at the same time, you don't let him walk over you because that says to everyone else, no, don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah. On the flip side, too, not just from the administration, from the teammates, if, March comes around and you're playing again and the bloke that's requested a trade is still around, you're like, well, mate, am I even going to bother hanging out with you? Am I going to bother making you part of my team, my inner circle?
And the Crows don't have a good history of getting around blokes like that, do they? As soon as they're gone, fuck off, mate. We don't want you.
Which is, I can understand that, because if a football team is naturally a pretty close environment, and when some bloke says, nah, you can't start good enough for me, you get pissed off.
Oh, it'd still work, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's one of those ones, too. If some bloke goes, look, I like you lads, but these guys are paying double.
Yeah.
You're like, mate, you're fucking dumb.
I tell you what, if you're a real mate, you tell him fuck off. You take that.
Yeah, and it's your shout, Kent.
Show me the contract. I fucking signed it. I'm off now. See ya.
Anyways, and Carlton were terrible. On to Hawthorn and the Swans. No Buddy, no Parker.
As soon as that happened, I sort of figured that they weren't taking it super serious.
I mean, Buddy was probably a legit, win. He needs a week off. And Parker was, fuck this. Yeah. I reckon.
But Sydney do this every fucking year. Like, they get in to get in the finals. Yeah. They're not interested in double top chances. Two. They're not interested in all that shit. They're just like, no, we're going to rest players. We're going to sort out our shit so that round one of the finals, that's our peak.
Yeah. We won't lose in September. They back themselves in, to do that.
Which, realistically, if you lose first week, how likely are you to win the flag?
Well, if you're the Swans, not likely at all, because you're knocked out. it happens. Not as often.
It's a rarity.
2015 was the last time, and I reckon it happened in 05 and 06, but I don't think it's happened in between those two. So once every 10 years, those kind of numbers.
So a 10% chance.
Yeah, let's say that. And it's rare to make the grand final, let alone win it there, but that's the way it goes. Alir had probably the worst first half of football I've ever seen.
That's tough for Alir.
It was every time we touched the ball, Hawthorn got a goal.
See, and especially like when you watch him play, you always give some like bonus points because you know he's not very good. It's kind of like when you study out in the country and like for your for your school. You get like they just give you extra points. Like you're probably half retarded. I feel like watching Alir's game, you get the same.
I benefited from that. Yeah, it got me into a higher course.
Yep. So we understand Alir.
He's better than that, though. He's had better games than that this year, but that was a shocker. And, on the eve of finals, when you got, a couple of names to come back in, you got to ask, what does he do? But I think he's important for them in their makeup.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a matchup question of when he gets in the team. Depends on their plans. Who they got first round?
Sydney.
Oh, and Giresse, that's right. Yep. Oh, that's going to, I feel like I give him a game. Against GOS.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out who lines up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who'd be the next best intercept mark.
Well, in Sydney's team, or you mean in the league?
In Sydney's team.
Rampy? I don't know.
He'd have to be it, wouldn't he?
Isaac Heaney? He was great against Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, playing that role. But, otherwise for the Swans, Jake Lloyd had a great game down back, and especially in the first half when they were firing up.
Yep.
He played well, but just lacked composure in the second half, and Hawthorn threw Sean Berg on, just got running.
Bergeron's had a killer season, and 200 for Hawthorn next game.
Yeah, 200 games for Hawthorn. Isn't that ridiculous?
Crazy, yeah. Looks like it's his only 200 games as well.
He signed on for next year too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's playing next year.
Jeez. And is it Henry that they're talking about going to St Kilda?
Yeah, that's the big rumours. He's still got 3 years to run on a contract, so there'll have to be some work done there. But
yeah, Sands got plenty of picks though, don't they? They did pretty well last season.
Yeah, they've got trades. Cap room too. Yeah.
I don't think Sydney need him so much. They've got that many academy players coming through, though. Their picks won't matter.
Academy, father, sons, the whole kit and caboodle.
And you always have to look at maintaining sort of a list that's not going to slide backwards too far when it's not your time. Those will be there or thereabouts because you're going to be attractive for other players to come to your club as well. Yeah.
And on the Hawthorn side of things, Connor Nash, some massive tackles. This lad has got everything except kicking. Can't kick for shit, the poor lad.
It's a wet weather player, is what he is.
the Irishman with a nice rugby background. But anyway, 9 points, never in doubt.
What I liked about Mitchell's game this week.
Tommy.
He only got 24 touches, which is, half what you expect from him. But 11 tackles and 16 contested possessions. So he was earning his ball the hard way.
Well, he was tackled all night, which, he comes to expect. But how many clearances did he have too?
Two.
Really?
No, seven.
That's got to say. So he's still... I've noticed it a lot with their ruck work. When it gets in tight, they say, right, Mitchell's obviously, the leading...
Posse-getter in the league.
Posse-getter and clearance player in the league. He just sits underneath the ruckman and go, don't bang it anywhere, just drop it right here, I'll take care of it.
Yep.
Ended up with one less disposal than he got last year.
Really?
It's consistency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a bad effort.
Funny thing was that...
I still don't see Marina in the Brownlow. Sorry.
Clearances. Hewitt got 12.
Who was the bloke standing right next to him.
Yep. but equal was McAvoy.
Yeah.
And Shields. On Shields, do you reckon Hawthorn are a chance to get his brother? Because we heard throughout the week that GWS, if you believe the stories coming out, are going to be $1 million over the salary cap next year.
Yeah.
If the situation stays as is.
Yeah, and planned. I don't think so, because it sounds like there are others that are further ahead.
If you're... there has to be 17 teams asking for Dylan Shield.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a quality player.
Yeah, I did catch the joke about his brother, but their names are actually spelt differently. Right. But if he said, I want to go to Hawthorn, move heaven and earth to get him, without a doubt.
Yep.
But you take him. Imagine a midfield with him and Jager.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to use the gym.
Imagine trying to get in front of a mirror.
Oh, imagine the poor strapper. You turn up, fucking Burgoyne's just finished, Shields line up, shit.
I like Warple's game in this one as well, because he didn't play that great. I mean, he kicked a couple of goals, but there was one part where he lost a one-on-one and he got the shits and nearly gave away a 50. I like that.
You'd like to see a little bit of mongrel about him.
He was offended. And he was embarrassed that he got beaten. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Jake Lloyd, actually. He kicked the goal anyway. But I liked that he was not happy with himself.
See, all he had to do was take it out on some small child in the crowd. It would have been just like Sicily.
Some small child in the crowd?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to go Cantona.
Right. He just looks a little bit like Cantona with a haircut, but no.
I can't remember what Cantona looked like.
Like MacGyver.
He might might be back for the final, Sis. Could Cantona. Be getting a few back. Yeah. On to the Sunday games. Lions almost tried to do their best against Eagles. Lions looked like they were running out in a training guernsey or a singlet.
A little bit weird, wasn't it?
It was a weird one.
Weird little get up.
I thought the Lions were a chance here, and I say that just because I was well behind in my tipping and hit it roughy.
Me too. they were very scrappy, though, the Lions. I mean...
Well, it was only their accuracy that kept them in it.
Yeah.
And West Coast inaccuracy.
Yeah, but they were... When needed, West Coast could go that extra gear. And the Lions, it didn't look like their heart was in it, but Eagles turned into, all right, we've got this. Let's just get through it.
Yep.
We've got finals to play. Not much more to say. I mean, it was a good season from the Lions. Will they end up with 5 or 6 wins?
They're all back-ended as well, so you can see where they're heading and starting to actually get some reward for what is probably a demotivating start to a season. But with young kids stepping up and playing good footy, you start to get this, those little sort of confidence boosters that you are actually getting somewhere, and the plan you're subscribing to might actually get you out of that rut that you're in.
I think that's massive. Like the wins they've got have been earned wins. They haven't been against teams.
Two against us, the fuckers.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't been against teams that have been donkeys or anything. Yeah.
Well, the rest of them were, but besides the two against us.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But what it means, though, is come this October, when they go to the trade table, if you get an offer from Brisbane, you go, you know what?
It's not bad.
I can see what's going on. I can see what's happening.
Provided they keep Beams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's an emotional one, that one too, for them. That's going to make a difference. But even so, if he goes, you go, all right, well, we got salary now. Yep. You know, we can afford to play around.
It depends what they do with that, too. Like, if Beams does go... they'd have to, you know, get something in compensation, and then can they use that to get, say, a Shield?
Yeah.
And if they get Shield there, you're like, hang on, that might be an upgrade.
You know, if Shields just goes out looking for money, not, you know, immediate success, you consider it. Yeah. And they're the kind of players that, you know, they can go after. The ones that, you know, I want an extra 100K, 200K.
Yeah.
You wouldn't dismiss them straight off the bat.
Well, his manager says he's on $40 million a season, so I don't know how he's going to get paid more than that.
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle. Melbourne and the Giants. Well, I was surprised. I tipped Melbourne, but a couple of weeks ago I said that Melbourne needed to go win one of the next two games, and I thought they wouldn't win either. They've beaten West Coast over there, and now they've beaten the Giants, albeit down here, and more injuries for the Giants. But Melbourne did what they had to do and then won convincingly.
It did. I mean, it wasn't the best day. Melbourne. This was MCG.
If you're a Melbourne supporter, it is the best day. It's fucking awesome.
Weather-wise, I think you meant.
Yeah, it was pretty funny on their Twitter where they put out the last year's brochure for making the finals and just wrote 2018 over the top.
Well, you got to have a laugh, Dave.
Yeah,
did you see some fucker turned up with a crockenbush?
What? No.
Yes.
They're taking the piss now, aren't they?
Turned up with a fucking crockenbush.
I love it. It's awesome.
Unless in the middle of that cone of pastries was a vodka bottle or something, or a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Yeah, it'd be some nice champers. Wouldn't surprise me, actually. There was a big champagne tasting event in the city, so I'm sure most of those guys hit it up.
I just want to see what the security guard fucking did. It's like someone turns up with that, it's like, what's that? It's a crockenbush. It's my dinner.
No rules against it.
I'm not sure what to do here.
Just wave the wand over
it. Yeah, wave the wand over it. It. No, fucking, all right, in you go.
I'm not convinced those wands at work.
No. Considering they've scanned, at least two blokes we know have got fake hips, knees, and who knows what else.
Yeah,
nothing.
They could be carrying a fucking sword down their jocks, and
dangerous.
I think you've got other issues there. Anyway, the D's are going great guns as they go into the finals.
How good do they look? And Maxi Gorn too won the coaches award,
coaches association. Yeah,
deserved.
Why not?
And one of those guys that the Brownlow's always hard to pick. In terms of anyone not a midfielder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't tend to win.
That's what it is.
But if you're going to pick someone outside of the small midfielders, Gorn's it.
Yeah. I reckon he's had a great year. And obviously, being a ruckman is still midfield, like you say. It's not a small midfielder, but he's still there, which means he's right under the nose of, or over the top of the heads of the umpires. Not under many of their noses, but anyway.
I think he was the first bloke to get 1,000 hit outs in the regular season, too.
It's not a bad effort.
Jesus. No.
That's fucking
I think
really good.
Goldstein got it a couple of years back, but it was in the full season, like in the finals.
Including finals.
Yep.
Yeah, well, when nobody's ever done it before, you're inclined to feel you've done it right.
And I'm pretty sure, considering he's got most hit-outs to advantage too, he's probably set that record as well.
I imagine, but I don't know. I haven't seen Jeremy Dunnell. And the final game of the round, St Kilda versus North Melbourne. It was comical at times, but there was still an interest in the game in will Benny Brown kick, what do you need, 7 to tie? You got to say, he looked a little nervous early on, didn't he? Mr. Sitter?
He missed a couple of marks. He got a ludicrous fucking one.
Yeah, he got two ludicrous ones.
Well, yeah, he got that one where he was tackled and flicked on the boot, which I guess you can sort of say...
Make your own luck.
Yeah, full forward's kind of prepared for that. But the other one where he's in the pocket, kicks a drop punt into no gap.
And
how the fuck did a drop punt curve?
And missed one from dead in front, 20 metres out, 2 minutes earlier. Yeah. So obviously his kicking boots were on.
Did he kick a goal in the last half? Or were they all first half?
No. All first half.
Yeah, one of the you kicked the first goal of the game, and you thought, "Oh, righty, it was perfect." Benny Brown, just lead out. Was it Goldstein put it on his chest? It was a beautiful pass. Whoever it was,
yeah, I think it was Goldstein.
And you thought, "All right, well, that's his bread and butter. He's in for a big day here."
Yeah.
But he looked really nervous after that.
Well, naturally, he was getting held all day. Fucking disgraceful.
I thought nobody got near him. he dropped a lot of marks.
Well, the funny part was, because they always two-upped him, it was Waite that was running off or Zeeble. So he was always... There was a couple of times where Waite's running in, he's the only person in the forward 50, and they've lobbed the ball over, and he's like, fucking thank
you. There was that... Was it in the last quarter, Waite's last goal, when he was all alone in the forward 50 and he got to trot up? And, it was a nice story because it's his last game, but I was watching... There was a reason he was all alone in the 450 because he didn't fucking move. The ball had gone, like, St Kilda had the ball. He's just like, fuck this. Turned it over. He's like, I'm in. He did not move.
That veteran move.
Yep. What can they threaten him with? Hey, Waitey, you need a chase, mate.
Exactly.
If you don't,
yeah.
All right. No worries.
Hey, Waitey, come off. Fuck off.
Reminds me when I was in Adelaide and. Adelaide United in, I'm pretty sure it was second season of A-League or something like that. They got Romero from whatever club he was pretty much mercenarying for. And we're like, oh, sweet, we'll go watch it, you know. I was with a couple of American dudes who are into soccer, and he literally just sat by the last defender and just waited until it was his turn to kick the goal. That's it. Did not do a fucking thing.
That's his job.
It's the same thing. What do you do? Fire him? He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm on my victory tour. I'm around collecting paychecks and... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's no Usain Bolt.
This is true. This is true.
Is he legit coming to the A-League?
He's playing in a trial match this year. Like, he's been training for the last month.
How the fuck are North Melbourne not linked with him?
Very true. Very true.
I'm surprised. Just on that, I can't believe that anybody's saying that it's a bad thing.
No, fuck that. If it gets people bums on seats, fuck it.
They're going to get the biggest crowd that has ever seen an A-League game. Yep. It's going to be a trial game in fucking September or August.
Yeah.
Who cares if he's a bust? It's Usain fucking Bolt.
Exactly. And how many A-League players can you name that aren't named Tim Cahill?
Usain Bolt. Like I said.
I just want to see him race the Mazda around the outside boundary.
Oh, a guy lost. He lost against the Jeep.
Did
on
he?
Bulldogs versus Richmond.
Yeah.
He fell over.
Oh, my God.
He fell over at the start.
The Jeep kept on going.
Yeah, they went, oh fuck this.
Jesus. Poor form by the Jeep.
The Jeep won by about halfway. Anyways. So that's the end of this round. We're not going to get into the finals yet as a preview.
No, it's trade week now, yeah?
Well, I'm going to say, this is pretty much the end of pre-season for you, Josh, because you love trade week and what's going to happen. But before we get to that, we have got a final ladder here, and we do our pre-season predictions.
Oh, shit.
I've done the calculations.
Yep.
Not one of us improved on last year.
Shit.
We all went worse, including... when I did it at the halfway mark as well. I'm happy to say for the second time I've got third place.
There you go.
79 points. So the way we do it is we do our predictions and you put the 18 teams in the ladder and you get 1 point for every place off and -5 if you get dead on.
Yep.
And obviously lower score wins. So
I think North Melbourne might have served me quite well here because I think I put them 12th and I think all you guys had them 18th or some shit.
I had them in 16th. And Brenton had him in 7-8th. So yeah, they did well for you.
Yeah.
So I had 79 points, which is terrible. Josh had 76 and Brenton had 70. So
here we go. Smashed it.
You've Bradbury'd your way in.
I have.
But interesting that all three of us picked Fremantle to finish 14th.
Yep.
And they did.
Not all of us picked Port to finish first, though.
No, no. Josh picked
that. Josh, that might have. Hang on, though. Who did you pick to finish first?
Geelong, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, and I picked Adelaide.
Yeah, so you fucked up worse than I did.
It's could be, this could be where I won it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt.
It helped, yeah. Well, you had Adelaide coming second. I think I was the one that had Hawthorn. No, Brenton had Hawthorn lower than me. I had Hawthorn in 12th, and you had him in 13th. So that hurt me as well. But anyway.
Where'd we have Collingwood? I feel like we all were pretty pessimistic about that.
Yeah. 16. I had him in 11th. And Brenton, you had him in 12th.
Wow, that's...
So they saved your ass.
I thought I'd be way more harsh than that, especially coming off a big off-season of, predictions that didn't matter.
Yeah. But anyway, so there you go.
That's, so it's your fucking fault.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So Brenton's the first two-time winner of that.
Feels good, man.
and you win nothing. All right, so what's your... Just as we finish up, what's your big trade rumours then? I saw an interesting one today, trade and draft. I'll rope that in all together.
Yeah.
That the Tasmanian academy player that North Melbourne's had lined up for years.
Thomas.
Now they're starting to leak out a few stories. They're like, oh, he's a bit dodgy. You know?
Is he really?
Oh, he's a bit lazy. You know, he's hanging around with undesirables.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty transparent.
I mean, I think it was just been, with all the recent news, he's been running around to everyone he knows trying to see if he can buy a Brownlow. I've heard there's one on the market for sale.
Well, yeah, there is. There is, if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah, well, I've been asking everyone. Well, they keep offering me cocaine, though, which is kind of weird.
Over in Perth, yeah.
Well, normally I'm pretty optimistic about trade week because it's the
it's the highlight of your year.
Because you have money.
Most optimistic part of the last couple of seasons I've had. But all of a sudden, people are talking about every cunt wants to Prusy.
Well,
they want Pruce.
You've got to give away something.
Yeah. Fuck that. I've been pitching for him for ages. Apparently, Adelaide wants him. Who the fuck else? I've got the list here. Adelaide, GWS, Hawthorn can fuck off. What was there? West Coast, Sydney.
Well, because there's rumours that Lysette is now on the market as well. Because as soon as Nick Nat went down, he went, my price is a little bit higher, boys. So West Coast are in the market for another ruckman.
Well, and Port want Pruce and Lysette. So I'm guessing it's one or the other.
Well,
we've got Paddy Ryder there. I mean, fucking settle down, lads.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, only played half a season this year, and he's always injury prone. And
Stick Hoover out into the deal, you know. I mean, Port are a dumping ground for shit players.
Well, yes, they've started to get rid of a couple already. They got rid of Jimmy Tumpas.
That's right, yeah, he's done.
Who was, a great pickup for him.
Magical Jimmy Tumpas.
Lindsay Thomas called time on his career on the weekend.
Did he really? Shit.
In the Sandford, where he started, actually, with Port Adelaide. Magpies, that is. Port Adelaide Magpies. Yeah. He's wrapped it all up.
He's one of the youngest retirees who looks like the oldest retiree.
He looks like he goes straight into pension.
Yeah. Legit, if he walked into Centrelink and said, oh, yeah, I'm pension discount, he'd be like, fair enough.
You wouldn't ever ask him to get up and move from the front seat of the bus.
No. You would offer him your seat. Yeah. You would.
Well, especially knock your fuck out if you didn't. But I've got a soft spot for Lindsay.
Of course.
I think he was unfairly maligned with the staging bit. I think there was blokes that did it worse than him. He just had a couple of really fucking bad examples.
I mean, if he wasn't the worst, he was still top five.
Yeah.
But if you're judging people by highlight reels, then Mad Jack Dawes all Australian, so fuck it.
I feel like he was at a very balanced highlight reel. He balanced it out with the lowlight reel.
Yeah, poor lad.
Well, that's what I mean. They judge him on five acts that he did that were fucked versus the 10 acts that he did throughout his career that were brilliant.
Yeah. And by all accounts, everybody says the nicest person off the field.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's just one of those really shy lads, which hasn't helped him too, because whenever that sort of shit happens, you see someone like Barry Hall, for example, goes on the footy show, does this, oh, I'm just a bloke, I've lived life, whatever.
And, does damage control.
Yeah, it's all forgiven and they move on until he says something about, you know, sticking fingers up a pregnant woman's JJ. And even then, he's still got on 60 Minutes saying how there's an offence culture about that shit.
Like, I'm pretty sure this is about Lindsay Thomas.
Yeah.
look, it's been a short week, so we've got time to burn. I've got a half hour of North Melbourne material in a minute, but
we've got 6 months for that to come out. Just save it. Just not blow all our
But, I mean, good luck for the lad. I hoped he would have stayed with Port Magpies for a little while, just, you know, see himself up there. But maybe he wants to go play in Whaler. I have no idea.
Is he from Whaler? Oh, I was going to say Port Lincoln.
I'm not in Port Lincoln. Whaler, Port Lincoln. They're all on the same TV channel.
Yeah. Country. Whaler, Port Lincoln, Port Augusta, Port Perry.
I'm not sure Whaler exists anymore, actually.
And Broken Hill, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll head to the Hill. Imagine getting him for old-timers.
Jesus. Yeah, they put him in a West Guernsey.
Yeah, why not?
Stitch him up, run him out there.
All right, so who else has North got their eyes on? So Pollack and Gaffer are done deal. You reckon Aaron Hall?
Well, he's the one that they're flagging, and I'm not hearing a lot of interest from other clubs. And if you're talking about reasons to stay, Gold Coast doesn't have any.
Yeah.
So if you're at the Gold Coast,
salary someone, cap space,
free trip to China.
Yeah.
I can imagine going in arguing for your contract at Gold Coast. It's like, well, I want 400. You're like, oh, we can give you six. I don't want to commit. Yeah. six, I feel obligated to stay. Can I have four? Anyway, sorry.
It's like a lot of players will stay for finals chances. They don't have them. Or for the people around them, and they don't really have them either. Or for potential future, they don't have that either. So, I mean, if there's a possible tenuous link, he's probably going.
Yeah.
Whether he goes to North, I don't know. But
on that, it's good timing too, because I think this week or next week, the documentary that North Melbourne have made, comes out.
Keeping
North South. Must regret that, don't they, North? Yeah. Going up to the Gold Coast. Would have been an absolute boon for them up there.
Well, there's been quotes thrown around about that whole thing, and Demetrio apparently is still shitty about it. He's like, you know, it could have been everything. I'm like, nah.
Oh, he's a North Melbourne player too, back in his day.
He was as well.
I dare say, like, obviously you can't say that North would have been more successful up there, but they couldn't have been less.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Well,
you look at the model of that would have been the Brisbane merger, obviously,
yeah.
Fitzroy. And they had instant success.
Yeah, very, very quickly, yeah.
But it wasn't quite instant, but the bonuses they got, I think they only had four Fitzroy players play in their premiership or something.
Yeah, something like
that. But it's still... It's not just the field, it's the money that came through, yep. The expertise, the background, all that kind of shit.
Lee Matthews.
That too. Much. But I don't think it would have been the same for North, because having been done already with the Brisbane merger...
Yeah, there would have been a certain Collingwood president going, hey, no.
And also, neither team's done very well. And even if you combine the teams from that era, all the good players were North.
Well, I mean, Gold Coast didn't exist.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah. But even the first Gold Coast team.
That made it hard.
It did.
And the first Gold Coast team had Gary Ablett.
This is some fucking Sam McClure interpretation of facts.
First Gold Coast team would have been 12 years old at the time.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, yeah, anyway. It's an absolute graveyard for footy teams out there, so.
Well, yeah, but, you know, also winning a flag sort of does help your justifications.
Yeah, exactly. It might have gone.
Should have moved. Won a flag. Fuck off.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in looking at it. I think it's on tonight, actually.
Is it on tonight? I knew it's on Foxtel at some stage, this week or next or something like that. It's going to be a very biased point of view of it, but fuck it. You know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a good move from North to... They spent a long time making this one, too. I think it's been
they commissioned it themselves, did they?
They made it themselves.
Yeah.
Not just commissioned it.
It was done on an iPhone.
All right.
iPhone 4. No, I'm looking forward. I'm sure other people can get a bit of information. It's always interesting with the background of football clubs, because you don't see much of that.
Yeah.
Like, you see players doing the 1 week at the time, blah, 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 the trotting out the old lines. But you don't see, Mark Brayshaw was talking about it, how...
James?
No, Mark, his brother.
Because
his brother was... Mark was apparently one of the ones voting to move, and according to Mitra, he was offering to drive the bus kind of thing. And then
James is one of the ones that said no, fuck that.
Exactly. And then he changed his mind, and he was the swing vote. And he, you know how normally they're like, oh well, there was a lot of opinions and we just felt this was, but he just came out and said, yeah, Demetrio called me up, he was fucking shitty, he just ripped into me. And then I had to call up the other bloke, can't remember who it was, and apparently he still doesn't talk to me about it.
It was Fitzpatrick
actually. Mike Fitzpatrick.
Sounds right.
Where'd I pull that from? So there's still bad blood about it, even though I think everyone's pretty much au fait with their choices.
It doesn't matter the level of success that North's had. You know, a couple of prelims and all that kind of stuff. You only have to look at Gold Coast and go, that would have been a shitty idea. But anyway, it will be a good idea. It's part of footy folklore as well. And, those kind of docos are great, I reckon. All of them, regardless about which club it's about. Anyway, that'll be interesting.
But, I mean, the same night that's on, we've announced we're cacking six players, which is
Interesting. Billy Hartung.
I was surprised at that too initially, but then I sort of had a bit of a think, and I'm like, all right, if Polek is a done deal, which I think it's arrogant to make that assumption until they're at the club.
I like how arrogance is, we're landing a trade. Guys, we've got one.
I like how you just keep calling him Polak.
Polak. We got him, Hall, and potentially Gaff. Which, if you get all three of those, that's fucking... That's an improvement.
Yeah.
But Hall and Polak especially.
Do you want to give it a go, Brenton?
Polak.
Anyway.
They're not quite as fast, but they're fucking a lot more efficient.
Oh, they can kick it, and Hartung can't. But I thought Hartung, he spent half the year out with hamstrings, but the games he played well.
Yeah, I thought he did too. That's where you go wrong with North, though. You don't want to play well if you're on the line towards the end of the season.
It's not like they go, you know what, we can't afford you, because you got him with the last pick in the rookie draft or whatever it was.
The other thing is, too, they got rid of Josh Williams, who was a player that only played two games last year, but he is a rocket as well. So they've gotten rid of two of their paciest players, but potentially getting in, obviously, those three guys, as well as young Attlee from Port, which is what they're talking about. And they've kept Morgan so far. Who knows what the fuck that'll happen. Obviously, the big pickup from Essendon that played... one or two games this year?
I've never heard of him.
Yeah. Alex Moore, he's a speedster who hasn't really achieved much. Okay. Plus, there's a couple of young lads coming through, and then you've got young Taron Thomas are talking about. They got rid of Narrier as well, who's another speedster, who I actually quite like the look of in the VFL a few times.
Yeah, but VFL form, though. I mean...
Yeah, it is hard to pick.
Those other guys, you go, okay, they're speedsters, but they haven't been able to crack into the team now.
Yeah.
Whereas Hartung was, until he got injured. That's... Yeah. I don't get it, because... It doesn't make sense to me. He's a lad that I think he has
a future career.
He still does, yeah. But will somebody go, you know what, Hawthorn don't want you, North don't want you?
Well, it could also be another one where they go, all right, we're getting in these guys, and Taron Thomas will give some games to Luke Davies, Uniaki, all these guys who play a similar position. All right, Billy, your role is going to be in the VFL. You're going to be a depth player.
Yeah.
If you're going to be 25 next year, I think, if you're 25 and you're a depth player, you're never going to make it.
Yeah, I don't even think he's that old. I could be wrong, but yeah.
He's around that age. He's 24, 25, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So he could very much say, look, see where you're going, but not good enough for me. Yeah. I want to be released, and I want to be on the market ASAP, which you want to be. You don't want to be waiting until November
to
find out you're not getting a contract, and then you've got a week to try and set up something. So, look, I can see... some idea of it.
Still surprised, though.
Yeah, but having said that, our list management people are generally getting it right. Like, I don't think there's many players in the last 5 years who've gone on to better careers than they had at North.
Yeah.
And guys like Black, Bastanac, guys that were around abouts and could have been something.
Curry.
They've gone on to do sweet fuck all. Even Gibson didn't have a great year at Adelaide.
Wow, he got injured for the first time in
exactly.
Hartung is 24 in January, so there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Jesus.
Yeah. There you go. So he's still a bit younger than I thought, even. By you, but
older than I thought. So yeah. Anyway,
I hope he gets picked up, because I think he brings something to a team. I think he, like we've said before, he's one that the problem is he picks the ball up on the half back line, and then the full forward's sitting in the centre circle, and he's so fast. By the time he gets to the centre half forward line, the full forward's level with him. He's got no one to kick to.
He's unlucky, because kicking's an important part of the game.
It is, unfortunately.
He's got everything else, the poor lad.
And he's not big enough to be an inside mid, where kicking isn't that important.
But he's, like you said, he can run all day. He set the beep test record. I don't know if it still stands, actually. I think it does. Him and Brad Hill. Mm. But anyway, that's the way it goes.
No, if he gets picked up, there's plenty of teams could use him. I mean, shit, if you're St Kilda or Carlton, in fact, he's shitty by foot, isn't going to make him
Gold Coast.
Crusoe.
Yeah, I mean, Gold Coast. If he wants to continue his career, I mean, if he wants to go to the Gold Coast... They'll take him, surely. They'd have to.
Well, they don't have, obviously, got rid of Saad, and he could play a similar role out of the back line. Well, he's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Quite a bit smaller.
Yeah. But anyway, so this week we've got the All-Stars, what do they call it? The old-timers, EJ Witten game on Friday night. Shit. Yeah, I don't either.
No. I tell you what. They always get good seats to that, though, because you're in the lounge room watching.
Yeah.
They can't even rig it properly. So I just can't suspend my belief long enough to enjoy the game.
And I think, you know, we've seen, what's his name, David Roden do the worm now. We get it. Yeah, you're an umpire. Well, I'll watch it only because there's nothing else. But VFL on the TV on Saturday, that's something. All right, this is the bye week. And I think that'll do us. Until next week, we can actually talk about footy again.
Yep.
Finals time.
All right. Peace. Let's
go. See ya. Shit,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.